I guess I'm on now. Okay. All right. Jeez. All right. Good morning, Glenmar Church.
Morning.
It's great to be here. I do think it's wonderful that somebody gave us an extra hour on my first day. I thought that was it was really nice. So, remember Matt's first sermon and his last sermon? What he did in those sermons? Shoes. Do we have a picture of those shoes somewhere? There they are. Andy's shoes, Matt's shoes. Remember what he said? He said, people are saying that I have big shoes to fill. And he says, you know, these are Andy's shoes. He says, I'm not going to be able to fill these. I can't. They're not my shoes. They're not made for me. And they're not the right size. You know, I'll get blisters. They're both runners. You know, they're running shoes. And he said, you know, I'm going to have to wear my shoes. I'm going to have to be who I am with you. I'm going to have to be the person that God created me to be. We're all created differently by our loving God. And so his last Sunday, he had another pair of shoes up there. Do you remember that? Did you see that? I'm not wearing those shoes either. One time in a talent show, but I'll tell you about that another time. But friends, I want you to see, these are my shoes, okay? And these are walking shoes. I like to walk. I'm not a runner. I run occasionally, but mostly I like to walk. And I wear these shoes, you know, they're around the house. They're kind of like my kick-around shoes, wear them to the beach, wore them a lot this summer because I was retired this summer. So I got to wear these kind of shoes quite a bit, and you'll see me wearing these occasionally. I'm thinking about my dad today, and Dad wore hush puppies. Do they still make hush puppies? These are my hush puppies. I'm not going to wear those. I'm not going to wear hush puppies. I'm not going to wear what he also wore with that, which was black socks and Bermuda shorts. You're not going to see that either. But you are going to see me wearing these shoes, and I think they're appropriate because they're walking shoes. And what I want to say about this is that I'm going to be walking with you over these next months together. And so this walking stick that was given to me by SPRC is really appropriate. This is our symbol, both the shoes and the walking stick. As to what we're saying is, we're not going to be racing through this time, we're not going to rush through it, but we're not going to stop either. You know, we're going to walk through this time together. I'm asking you to walk with me. I'm going to walk with you. I kind of look at this as a type B approach with type A energy. You know, I have a passion for quietly assisting you, to working with you, to learn what we need to learn, what God wants us to be learning and growing into in these next months together. And I'm really looking forward to that. I feel very welcomed here, very supported by prayer and by so many wonderful people. This is a fantastic church, and I feel very blessed to be here. So one of the reasons this is a strong church is because we have such a strong mission statement. And you see the mission statement a lot of places. It's in it's on the website, of course, many of our printed material. It's also on the walls now, right? You see it on the wall. So what is the mission statement? Let's say it together.
Praising God, growing disciples, serving the Lord.
So when I'm thinking about what to preach about these first three Sundays, it sort of came pretty clear to me that this Sunday I would be preaching on praising God. Next week, growing disciples. In 2 weeks, serving the world. So I love the verbs praise, grow, and serve. They're action words. So I'm going to just kind of give my take on it. I'm sure you've heard sermons about the mission statement in the past. I'm going to bring it into the forefront here as I start with you. Now, as you see the words in letters on the wall just outside this room, which of the words in the mission statement is by far the largest? You remember? God. The word God out there is larger. It focuses your attention. Now, I don't know who designed that. I haven't talked to the designers. I haven't talked to the staff about the thinking behind why it looks the way it looks. But I think about God, what else would be bigger than God, right? God is the biggest reality we have. God is all-encompassing. God created all of us. God, everything that lives is because of God. You know, God is a creating force behind everything that is, and God is everywhere. We think, what else is everywhere? We say, maybe air, but that's just on this earth. We go beyond this earth, past where there is air, God still is. Past this world, past this universe even, to whatever it is we continue to discover, and it's wonderful, isn't it, to see what we continue to learn about the universe and about beyond the universe, other universes, stars. God is over all of that. That's how big God is. And so God deserves to be preeminent. God deserves to be first. And the mission statement, having praising God first, we don't do that last. We do that first. That's the first thing that we're about, is putting God first in our lives. And that's why you're here, isn't it? You know, we are people of God, friends, together. We are God's people. And so we give God thanks and praise. We put God first. We say, thank you, God. Every time we come to worship, we're praising God. You know, we're singing to God's glory and God's strength. Now, we don't always feel like praising. There, we have down times, down seasons. Sometimes we feel down for quite a while. And today is All Saints Day, and some of us are coming with some heavy hearts. You know, we're remembering those that we've been our loved ones who have been who have passed to be with God. And I'm thinking today about a young friend of mine who's had a hard time. He lost his father a year and a half ago. This young guy's name is Hunter Solomon. Hunter graduated from high school this past June in Harford County, and these last couple years have been hard. He had a hard time. He barely made it through. Didn't go on to college. Was going to go into mechanic school. Decided not to do that. He was going to go to work, but he didn't have a car. He's being raised by his mother and his grandparents. His grandparents are good friends of ours. So his grandparents gave him a car. And it was a 1998 Saturn. So that's what Hunter's driving to work. About 3 weeks ago, he gets to an intersection outside of Bel Air and sees everybody stopped. There's an SUV over on this side stopped, also a big black SUV. It's time for him to go. It's clear. He goes into the intersection. The SUV guns it right into Hunter, passenger side, T-bones him. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. Hunter wasn't hurt. The person driving wasn't hurt. Turns out it was a 90-year-old woman, and her first comments to Hunter were, "I guess this means I shouldn't be driving anymore." And he thought to himself, "You think?" So the Saturn was totaled. And they went, you know, talked to insurance, what they were going to give them. You know, for the Saturn, it's not a whole lot of money. But Hunter needs a car. So, and he has a dream. He's, you know, what, 18 years old. He has three cars, kinds of cars he wants. They're all, anyway, he's on Facebook. He looks for them, and he finds one of the cars that he likes. That's a Honda Civic Si, if you know what that is. So it's down in Gaithersburg. So he and his grandfather go down there, and they look at it, and it's black, perfect. A little souped up, perfect. You know, he test drives it, loves it. It's the car. Now it's time to deal with the price. And they don't have a lot of money. What he was asking for was several hundred dollars higher. He came down mostly, and then his grandfather said, "I'll kick in the rest of it." So Hunter gets the car. So here's this guy who hasn't smiled in 2 years. You know, he has really struggled. And he says to his grandfather, "This is the happiest day of my life." You want to see a picture of Hunter? Here he is with his car. So isn't this what it is? We go from mourning to dance. We go from sadness to joy. We go from the darkness to the light. We go from that heaviness to the lightness of heart and spirit. And you go from a boy who was could only feel sadness to one who's feeling this great joy. And now he's driving around in that wonderful car. Remember a time when it looked and felt like nothing was going right for you, when you were, you know, behind things, it seemed like the deck was stacked against you? Maybe you felt abandoned. Maybe you felt lost, bereft. Maybe it was that even God abandoned you. You felt that. Sometimes we feel that. Joshua in the Old Testament, remember Joshua? He followed Moses, and Joshua wasn't sure about going forward. Joshua was the time when things were really shifting in Israel, and he had to deal with a lot of enemies without and enemies within. In chapter 11, verse 4 to 6, he says, "They came out with all their troops and a large number of horses and chariots, a huge army as numerous as the sand on the seashore. All these kings joined forces and made camp together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid of them, because by this time tomorrow I will hand over all of them to Israel. You are to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots.'" And that's what happened. But what Joshua remembered was God's promise to him. So even as the armies are going to come, even as the forces seem to be overwhelming, he remembered what God had told him. This is Joshua 1, verse 5. "I will be with you in the same way I was with Moses. I won't desert you or leave you. Then you will find out that you were never alone." And so for Joshua, it was, yes, these battles come in our lives. These times when we feel really separated and lost and alone, and we wonder whether we can deal with all the things that were happening. For Hunter, it was one more thing, right, to have the car smashed like that. And yet the promise stays true. It's the promise underneath. I am there with you, even in that place where you feel so lost and so put upon. Maybe the loss of a loved one for you today. We remember our saints. I remember my father who died 2004 in November. We remember loved ones who are no longer with us. We may be feeling their absence today. It may be that we're missing Matt today. Had a big influence in a lot of our lives. You know, we're wondering about what's going to happen in our church, you know, going forward. That's with us, isn't it? And I miss Matt. I knew Matt as a friend. I've known him for several years. We worked together. We served together when we were on conference staff. And I miss him too. You know, there's a lot of us that miss him. We wish him well. But there's a hole, you know. There's a gap that we feel. I talked to Matt back in June at annual conference. I saw him sitting up near the front, over on the side, and I said, "Matt, I'm retiring, I'm going to get to be with you." I thought, you know, I live in this neighborhood. I live not too far from here, and I thought, you know, Matt, I can help out. I can, you know, I'll be around. Little did I know. Little did I know. Well, it's kind of like, think about a favorite chair that you have in your house and what room it's in. Think about sitting in that chair, what it's like to sit in the chair. Maybe it feels comfortable, maybe very safe. Maybe it's big. Maybe it's soft. You know, feel kind of enveloped by the chair. You feel really good sitting in that chair. It's relaxing. Maybe you fall asleep. You know, maybe it's a place to read or to pray or to just to be to be held, kind of. Feel what that room is like. Maybe it's a room that's warm, that feels good to be in. And then we take that chair out. That's like what's happening, right? The chair is no longer there. How does it feel? The room changes, doesn't it? Doesn't feel quite the same. Now you can put another chair in there, a newer chair, maybe even a better chair, one that's, you know, has ergonomically better and has all the latest features and does it's electric or whatever it is and does all sorts of things. It's a great chair, but it's not the same. And that's kind of like where we are, folks. You know, the chair's been taken. The room shifts somewhat. It doesn't feel the same. I get that. And that's where a lot of us are, and I'm here with you in that. And we're just going to go through this time together. So we do it with the guidance and support of Jesus, of God's ongoing presence. It's with us always. We look to Scripture today. The Scripture is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to just read those verses now. It goes, "Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love." And down to 13, "In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory." The word praise and blessing is mixed through this whole passage. So blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word blessed here in this, in the Greek, is eulogio, the same root as our word eulogy, meaning to speak well of, to praise, basically. To praise. When it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's praise be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To praise is to speak well of God. That's what we do. That's what praising God is. That's our first action as God's people. That's our first action as Glenmar Church, to praise God, to put God first, to speak well of God. Now, people may be praised for their deeds. God is praised because of who God is. This is who God is. This is God's intrinsic nature. Because of God, who God is constantly blessing us. God is constantly pouring blessings back to us. So the blessings we give God is because God is blessing us. It's like this big, wonderful, you know, circle that we're in. And as we circle like this, we continue to kind of rise higher in many ways or go deeper. Sometimes we feel the loss even more. But then we were able to rise again. That's what death and resurrection is about. That's what this movement as Christians is all about. So we continue to move, to rise again, to praise. So I was in Russia a couple of times. I was really fortunate to do that. Traveled around. I went to a youth camp. I was on staff. I was one of the staff people at a youth camp called Ant Hill in Voronezh, Russia. And then traveled around, and I ended up for a couple of days in Volgograd. Volgograd used to be called Stalingrad. Stalingrad, Volgograd was during the Second World War. Several battles, several big battles happened there. 2 million people died. It's just unbelievable. 1 million Russians and 1 million Germans. They still talk about it. It's like it happened yesterday. You still feel that heaviness in the air. And we have two United Methodist churches in Volgograd. We have Transfiguration United Methodist, and there's Hope United Methodist. Well, I was talking with people at Hope United Methodist and talking with the pastor. His name is Vladimir Ilyokin. Vladimir was telling me his story. Okay, just a little bit. This is over barbecue the night before, Saturday night. We're sitting around in Volgograd, and I'm getting this translated to me, something about his story. And his story is that a few years before that, he died. He had a heart attack and died. He was on the operating table in the hospital, and everything ended for a short time. And somehow, he was brought back, and this happens sometimes. And he said that he, was obviously grateful to be alive, and he had gone, somehow made his way into a United Methodist Church. Now, he was a nominal Russian Orthodox, which is what most Russians are. But anyway, somebody invited him. He was in a United Methodist Church, and he heard singing. And he says, "That's what I heard! That's singing! That's what I heard when I was in that other place, when he was in heaven, should we say." It was like a little glimpse to heaven of what the angels are doing. They're singing. You know? And so what happens to Vlad? His whole life changes, and he ends up going to seminary and studying and learning and became a pastor at Hope United Methodist, in a place that really is in need of hope, in Volgograd in Russia. Well, God is with us in death. Life, death, and in life after death. And the connecting link through all those is praise. You know, praise links us with where we are today to that place in our lives when finally we go on to be with God. And what is happening there? We get a little glimpse from Vladimir. It's praise. God is with us. Even in the little deaths that we experience. Some of us may be experiencing a little death this morning. God's guidance and presence is still with us. So I want to contemplate who God is and that we're connected to this God today. No matter what, we can't help but praise God from whom all blessings flow, right? So friends, Jesus is the shortcut to God. In that word, God is also Christ and the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, you know. And Christ, Jesus, as we draw closer to him, we're drawing closer to God. We're linked that way. And so Jesus shows us God. He's the face of God. He's the one that lets us know who God is. And it's his presence and the presence of the Holy Spirit that is going to walk with us. So we're going to walk together, but it's Christ that's walking with us, right? This symbol isn't just you and me. This is you, me, and Jesus. Jesus is going to walk with us every step of this way. And because of who he is, we are. And we are becoming. We're continuing to become. So to him we sing hallelujah. And we were talking earlier about this song, hallelujah. You may know it. We're gonna sing. What better thing could we do today? You know, as we're praising God than to sing together. This is a contemporary setting for the song hallelujah. So thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Every blessing comes from God. God gives us his blessing. We're just saying thank you for what God is always giving us. Amen.